The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
My guest is Jerry Sullivan. He is the founder and chief columnist of SullivanSaysSoCal.com. Jerry, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I like the piece that you recently did where you kind of showcased when you go after the emails, things are always redacted. You know, they're blacked out so you can't see what they are. And you actually have a couple of examples of emails where most of the whole email is just about, you know, blacked out. And you did some digging and you kind of found out what was really going on here. Kind of set this story up, what it had to do with and what you did.
This has to do with the California Public Records Act, which is a state law, which gives journalists or everyday taxpayers or citizens or residents, community members, the right to request public records on anything they might be interested in. So what typically happens, as it's developed, is the public agencies very often, very many of them, treat these things, they take them very slowly. They tend to complicate them, and sometimes legitimately and sometimes not. In other words, if your request is too broad, if it's overly broad, it might have to be narrowed down. They might ask you to be more specific and so on and so forth. But it generally, is a very long process. It typically leads to, okay, we're going to need more time, more time, more time. The emails that I showcased were entirely redacted. I mean, other than the senders and recipients, right? Anything that was being said was redacted. And I sort of ran that as an example of what becomes the absurdity of it. When you consider that I made the request to the city and the city is the one who considers whether to grant the request, when to grant the request, how to grant the request. And, the redaction, I think, was a good example of they have a lot of latitude. In the meantime, what I did was sort of point to prior coverage from these same batches of emails that, give you some idea of some of the chicanery that goes on, which ranges from what would look to you and me and most reasonable observers to be, well, that doesn't seem entirely right, to perhaps outright illegal and corrupt. The process of redaction, I think they redact the obvious ones. So my point was, they're getting the point. I think the culture of corruption in L.A. at L.A. City Hall is so out of hand that they don't even realize half the stuff that points, to some very concerning communication and decisions and the methods of making decisions. So it's really out of hand. I think that's what the whole item pointed out. Now in this week's column that just came out today, I have some more emails, and this one, one from a top aide of the mayor, of Mayor Garcetti, just pressuring a staffer from the city attorney's office in regard to some action that would, clear the way for the city to start making payments on a lease. I don't even think they could have redacted that. I don't think they even realize how far off base they are at this point.
Right. One of the examples that's out there is how they can kind of get caught in their own emails, because the amount of money that's paid in leases for properties, there is one where the actual property was much smaller than the original plan. And the question was, did they end up paying the full lease price as if it was a bigger property, or did they end up paying it for the smaller property? I mean, this kind of stuff adds up to real money that the city is overpaying for, and it's a pretty big deal if you're a taxpayer. Maybe not for the individual taxpayer, but as a whole, if you add it all together, it's important, right?
Oh, absolutely, and it's important as a taxpayer. It's important on principle. And here's another way it's very important. Now, in this particular case, and they did, they agreed to pay X amount for 35,000 square feet. That got cut to about half that size, and they decided to pay the same amount anyway. Okay, so you and I know that there's something, you know, just obviously wrong about that. But now, consider it this way. Through all of this, that project, and for various reasons of mismanagement, and which may or may not be based or steeped in corruption, but there's certainly reason to ask that question. But the sum total of it was this facility that was supposed to be an emergency shelter for homeless people was a year late in opening. Now, over the course of that year, by the estimation of the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, three homeless people died every day on the streets of LA. So, yes, it matters for taxpayer money. Yes, it matters for principle. But that's 1,000 people who died. And not that that shelter being open would have saved all those people, but it might have saved some. And, you know, so there's a very stark human cost, and it's heartbreaking. And, you know, I don't think anybody who was involved in the whole deal, I don't think, and I think the results are clear, that they looked at it in human terms.
Yeah. Jerry Sullivan is with us. Sullivan Says is his website that puts out really quite a complete look at some of the stories and some deep dives from time to time into some of the political things going on in Los Angeles. We do a segment, as you know, called At the Heart of the Homeless Crisis, and we've been talking this subject for a couple of years now, every single week, devoting some time on Sunday Morning Newsmakers. And it's a interesting story and sad story in that it seems like they spend more and more, but the problem grows more and more on top of it, that things don't get solved, that you drive around the city and downtown Los Angeles and any freeway overpass, and you see these blue tarps, and you see this sprawl across our region, and you wonder, you know, is it not getting solved because it's so enormous, or is it not getting solved because the money is slipping to things like the homeless industrial complex? And you just kind of wonder, what are your observations? What are you getting the feeling of when you watch this city unravel like this in this homeless area?
Well, the only thing that anyone in government so far has succeeded at is dispersing money, spending money. To what effect? I think it's clear it's come up short. The people of the city and the people of the county, and citywide and countywide votes, two separate votes, agreed to raise their taxes on themselves to put billions of dollars towards this problem, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And, you know, when we do, when somebody, elected official, wants to showcase progress, it's typically a ribbon cutting and so on and so forth, and the photo op, and it's some incremental 63 units of emergency shelter or these tiny home encampments. But if you add up everything they've done, it's minimal. It's a small fraction of meeting the problem. And again, you know, it's been billions of dollars have been put towards this. I don't know if billions have been allocated. I don't know how much has been spent, but hundreds of millions certainly.
Yeah. And you hear about granite countertops and $700,000 units, and feel free to use drugs in them, and crime and all sorts of problems. I mean, it's messed up.
Yeah, and I don't even get into the whether it should be shelter first or permanent housing first, or what, you know, what wraparound services or social services are provided or how they should be provided. First things first, what I've been focused on is, you know, the actual development and construction of homes or shelter or roofs over people's heads. People are homeless because they don't have a place to stay. So, you know, the solution is obvious. Let's build or obtain places for them to stay. The voters saw that logic and said, okay, here's several billion dollars. Would you please take care of that? And, you know, to borrow your phrase and maybe add it a little bit, but there, a industry has grown around it. And I don't know that the goal necessarily is to house people. There are places that are nonprofits that make a lot of money. And I'll leave that at that.
Yeah. Some will say, oh, well, you know, the laws are such that you can't really lift them off the street unless you have enough places for everyone to go, or you have to encourage them gently off the street. The era of picking you up and throwing you into a jail because you're homeless is over in Los Angeles, and we've got to be friendlier and warmer, and this is what we get.
Well, you know, I agree with the notion that, and I think this is the Boise case, but all right, if you don't have somewhere to, if you can't offer someone shelter, then you can't declare their very existence illegal. I mean, I buy that. I believe that. And these are human beings, and we can't say that your very existence is illegal. You can't stay here, but you have nowhere else to go. Okay, well, what am I supposed to do, right? So at a very basic level, I am completely supportive of that. My problem is we provided the money to build the shelter that then would provide that option where you could say to a person, listen, you can't stay here in public. This sidewalk is for public use. We do have somewhere you could go, right? Some humane place and, you know, livable place that you could go.
But we fall woefully below the projected numbers of build-outs. And,
right. But so my point is we could meet that standard, I believe, if we were honest about handling this money and really dedicated toward getting the job done. And, you know, I think, and where we get back now to the emails and everything else, there's just too much telling us that it has not been an honest effort. And it's been lacking for reasons of public corruption. And, you know, unless and until everyone decides to squarely address that, it's not going to get better.
With that, Jerry Sullivan, Sullivan Says, they can read you there. I appreciate your time with us. We'll have you back.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Always good talking with you.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino. 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.